You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Well, friends, as we gather together today, this Stewardship Sunday, the operative word for our shared experience, I believe, is change. Things change, lives change, people change, congregations change. It is said that the only thing that doesn't change is the reality that change happens. And while this is not always welcome, it is something that we all acknowledge is our shared reality. Today is the last day here at Bethel for our wonderful music director, George Donovan, who has given us so many, yes. Get ready to do that multiple more times during service today. He has given us so many blessed moments in worship through the songs he's chosen, through the creativity that he's brought to our ministry. He has helped us really in a very, very real way to connect with God. And so I believe I speak for all of us yet again to give George a heartfelt thank you for your ministry among us and for the wonderful person you have been in our ministry together. So yet again, friends, let us give George a round of applause. Change happens. Well, at our first service today, we welcomed in 11 new people to our midst. The Brazelton family, Trevor and Laura, and their three children, Caitlin, who is a freshman at Shenandoah University, their son Chris, who is 15, and then their youngest child, Hunter, who's 2, 15 to 2. And it was planned, they will tell you that. Leanne, Sweeney Seville, Katie Anderson, the Kushlak family, John is their son, and Paul and Nell are the parents, and then Kitty Miller, who is being with us as an associate member. Our fellowship here at Bethel continues to be a place, as evidenced by these people, where others find a connection to God, and in such a special way that they desire to join our pilgrimage together, our shared ministry here at Bethel. And so we thank and we give thanks to God for them. And even though they're not here, I would invite us as the people of God to give them a round of applause as well. Now, it is also true that change happens, and sadly, in all congregations, we also have moments where we experience friends of ours, brothers and sisters of ours, with whom we have enjoyed wonderful moments of ministry, and they end up leaving our fellowship. Now, in those moments, we miss them. We're sad. But we also give thanks for them, for their time with us, their faithfulness, their love that has blessed us with their gifts. Yes, change happens. It happens in all aspects of life, and sometimes we rejoice, and sometimes we lament. So as we gather together today to give recognition to our shared ministry together on this Stewardship Sunday, I want to lift up for us an aspect of our ministry that does not change. In today's gospel, some outsiders, called Greeks in the Scripture, come to the disciples and ask a simple yet profound question. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Often, in sanctuaries where the pulpit is located, you will see these words engraved. It is also often a litmus test for us who proclaim the Word of God on Sunday mornings that what we preach hopefully will help others experience an encounter with Jesus. But I would submit to you this morning that it is more than simply the purview of the preacher. I believe it is the call of God to you as well, the people of God. In your life and in our life together, in all that we do through worship, through service, through sharing, through building up, through learning and teaching, are we helping others to see Jesus? Now, I believe that without a doubt, Bethel has been, since 1820, mind you, for almost 200 years, Bethel has been a place where Jesus meets, builds, and renews a people of God so that we might witness to our community, to our little piece of the vineyard in the kingdom of God. And I believe we all would agree that in our almost 200 years together, Bethel has changed over the centuries. Say that with me again, or hear that again. That Bethel has changed over the, not years, not months, but centuries. Because one of the beautiful aspects of being as old as we are as a community of faith is that we have shared the gospel beginning at a time that was less than 50 years from the founding of our nation. Through the admittance of, get this, 26 states to the Union. Through a civil war, through the Industrial Revolution, through the introduction of electricity and the automobile, two world wars, people going to the moon, the advent of the internet, and into now, a time where we have computers and TVs on our phone. Bethel has been helping people to see Jesus for a long, long time. And during this long, long time, brothers and sisters, we have changed. We've changed quite a bit. But our mission, regardless of how we looked or how we were organized in the moment, has never changed. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, it's important that we recognize that what it meant for Jesus, for us to live out that call. He gives us a blueprint in his answer to Philip and Andrew when they come to him and say that people want to see him. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And those who lose their life, who love their life, lose it. And those who hate their life for this world will keep it." See, here's the thing. At the very heart of what it means to help others to see Jesus is that we as the people of Jesus are called to an awesome yet maddening reality. It is that we are called to die. To die. Because Jesus says dying leads to new life. Now, often we talk about this in terms of the hereafter. We talk about the new life that is to come in that hereafter. Yesterday we had a wonderful opportunity to gather together at our new memorial, Bethel Memorial Garden, and scatter the remains of Pastor Emeritus Conrad Christensen. And we did so. I shared with everyone that in that moment, Pastor Christensen was continuing to minister to us, that through his death, his vision for this mission, this scatter garden, was one that will help us to achieve a living memorial to the gospel whenever we gather there and are reminded that God does indeed bring new life out of death. Because here's the thing. This promise of God bringing new life out of death is as much about the here and now as the hereafter. It is the great truth of God that we see that the primary work of God, the primary grace of Christ, is that He brings new life. He offers hope and promise to us in the midst of our most desperate and difficult moments. That He offers to us a promise of grace and new life that we cling to when our dreams or our self-esteem or our comfort or our hopes die unceremoniously around us. Friends, that is the first and awesome promise of this grace that our Lord gives us. And the call as well leads us into a maddening reality of faith, where we are called to die to the human things that occupy our minds and hearts so often. We are called as the people of God to so trust God and His new life promise that we are willing to die to our pride, to our frustrations, our unfulfilled dreams, our sin, our fear, our anxieties, and our selfishness. We're called to die to them because God promises new life through them. Grace and commitment, love and response. Jesus promises us this reality for our lives, that amidst the changes and the little deaths that occur in our life, both personal and communal, He will not abandon us or count us as insufficient or insignificant. Just as Abraham and Sarah laughed at God's promise of progeny, God did not abandon them or His promise to them. As the Hebrew people complained as they were scattered around the wilderness and became selfish and forgot their covenant with God and their lives of faith, God did not abandon them or His promise to Him. And when the disciples fled from Jesus and the cross in fear and hid themselves away, God did not abandon them and His promise to them. And friends, God will not, and God has not abandoned you or me or Bethel and His promise to us. For you see, especially when we feel that our efforts and our faith is insufficient, the grace of Christ promises us that His love for us is. And so in response, we faithfully face our crosses. We faithfully face our struggles. We faithfully face our uncertainties, and we faithfully face our anxieties, knowing that God has promised to turn those around and to bring new life out of death. Sir, we wish to see Jesus, the outsiders implore. Friends, that is the same question I believe our world is asking today. A world ravaged by school shootings and senseless war, natural disasters, and broken relationships. It is the same question that has been asked of us since 1820, and our response remains the same. A response born from faith, a response born from trust, that we can dare to live anew into the new beginnings that Christ is working in us and through us. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And we respond that here in this place, new light is streaming. Darkness will vanish away. That in this space, our fears and our dreamings are brought to God in the light of this day. So gather us in, we ask our Lord, the lost and forsaken. Gather us in, the blind and the lame. Call to us now, Lord. Give us faith that we might awaken anew and that we shall arise and help others through our ministry, through our love, through our service, through our faith. May I help those who ask, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. May we help them to know His name. In Jesus' name, amen.